This country's war on terrorism can be fairly said to have made a glaring strategic error. The U.S. focuses on Muslim extremists and jihadists from the Middle East and South Asia. The U.S. declares ISIS and Al-Qaeda as outcasts from faraway nations who have constructed a violent ideology by co-opting elements of Islam into a mutant religion of their own. One thing we never hear is how the ISIS-Al-Qaeda tactics and methods of recruiting are exactly like the growth of radical Christian groups in the United States, groups who say they are working to provoke a racial war right here. Author Stuart Wexler says there is a deep history in America of religious extremism that has been inspiring disaffected young people in Charleston like shooter Dylan Roth for decades. Wexler is the author of America's Secret Jihad, The Hidden History of Religious Terrorism in the United States. Wexler believes the Christian-based terrorism in the U.S. is at least as much of a threat as anything from the groups in the Middle East.
If you look at somebody like ISIS, why are they putting out those videos? They're trying to provoke us into a what they think is an apocalyptic Armageddon in the Middle East that will usher in the end of times. What are the folks that I'm writing about interested in? They're trying to polarize the races so that they can get a race war, which is in their mind what is the Armageddon, that's the true Armageddon in the Bible.
There's even an acronym for this, which has been around for a while, that you can find on the tattoos of some of the FBI's most wanted. What is it?
It's RAHOA, Racial Holy War. It actually comes from a guy by the name of Ben Clausen, who wrote The White Man's Bible in the early 70s and created a group called the Church of the Creator, which is almost like a pantheistic sort of religious, racist, terrorist idea. And it became in the 1990s the World Church of the Creator. And they actually inspired, at the very least, many acts of domestic terrorism. And it's tattooed on a lot of white supremacists' bodies. And I would imagine not all of them even know the true origins of it. And that's what's so insidious about it.
And what you write about is that the goal of many of these organizations going way back in the 20th century is the purity of the white race and a civilization that is freed of any multicultural influences.
Yeah, so they see people of color as being subhuman.
Well, there's a name, mud people.
Yes, exactly, mud people. They see them as being subhuman, children of the beasts of the field in the book of Genesis, and they want them basically ethnically cleansed outside of the United States. They think Jews are literally demonic from a second seed line from Eve and Satan. And they believe that they need to actually be wiped out and eliminated.
Would you say that the shooting in Charleston was an anticipated act of terrorism based on the way this ideology plays on individuals, lone individuals like a Dylan Roof?
I think it does. I think you can trace it back from Roof to the material that he's reading online to another religion that was very heavily influenced by the Christian identity folks, Odinism. And there are neo-pagan Odinists who are not racist and not violent, but this one particular strand has enormous influence nowadays. And do I think Dylan Roof, was he an Odinist? No. Were the people whose ideas influenced him into action? I think so. And then they trace all the way back again to Christian identity.
Al-Qaeda worked as this sort of ideologically driven franchise operation, which would encourage people to do certain things, even if they weren't actually involved in sleeper cells and specific sort of fundraising mechanisms for Al-Qaeda. Do you think jihadism, Christian jihadism in the United States works the same way?
I think in some ways it does. And in many ways, that's become almost a preferred approach because they've been so infiltrated in the last 20, 30 years by their own design, and you can find the actual strategies written about this, they're forced into trying to radicalize lone wolves. So they've sort of outsourced their violence. So if you look at a group like the Phineas Priesthood, the gentleman who shot up the embassy in Austin in 2014 was a member. That's almost like an informal brotherhood of Christian identity terrorists. And no one controls them. No one does anything except they read a book by one gentleman, and then they become radicalized into the idea.
Do you think at our peril, Americans and law enforcement in particular prefer to think of white actors who commit violence against African Americans for the purpose of some personal ideology as mentally ill versus as part of a very loose terrorist network in the United States?
That's way too often the case where they just dismiss somebody as being deranged. But even when they argue that somebody has some sort of influence from a white supremacist group, I don't think they look far enough to see if this particular element, this Christian identity element, had anything to do with that group.
Are these good times for these groups, or are these really fringe times for these groups who are in a kind of last gasp scenario as America begins to address race in a more open and potentially transparent way?
I guess there's good and bad in both. I think their pool of potential sort of applicants or influence is going to be shrinking. But that very fact that America seems to be moving in a particular direction, I think, alarms these people and may, in fact, encourage more terrorism.
And in terms of our view of the Middle East, do we not learn lessons at home when we try to analyze what's going on with ISIS?
I think we do. And I think part of the issue with, say, a group like ISIS is the need to look at the really deeply at the religious element of why they're doing what they're doing and not just throw them into this broad Islamic umbrella and look at what do Salafi jihadists want. Even the difference between ISIS and al-Qaeda is worth examining to some extent. I'm actually more concerned about al-Qaeda still because ISIS is so concerned about the near enemy and al-Qaeda is still concerned about the far enemy, the West.
Stuart Wexler is the author of America's Secret Jihad, The Hidden History of Religious Terrorism in the United States. Thanks so much, Stuart.
Thank you so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.